ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC at KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Beasley switches it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. And as always, Aaron Raybould behind the glass, and certainly looking forward to a great 2 hours of the best in soccer. You know, Aaron, I was listening to the I love listening to the end of Fred and AJ's show while I'm prepping. And you think those guys like me?
Oh, they love you.
Nah, I mean, would they go to my funeral? That's what I want to know.
We actually probably wouldn't be able to even get seats or be invited, so...
Give me a break. Hey, that's what they say. You hope that's the way it is, that you touched a few people throughout life, right?
Of course.
Yeah, how did you guys get on that discussion today? Oh, because of Rush Limbaugh's passing.
Yes.
Ah, got it. All right, so let me ask you, just take me through everybody at the station as far as who's been on the air. How have they done with power, water, and all that, including yourself?
John and Lance were not on this morning because the building lost power overnight, and they could not be on air this morning. We kicked off our local programming with Patrick Creighton filling in for Joel Blank, and Charlie Polillo did the press box. Joel, I think, still doesn't have power or water, but I haven't heard from him I haven't heard from him since yesterday.
I thought Joel was in Cancun.
And then Josh is back with power but no water. Jeez. Fred and AJ. AJ has power and water. Fred has power but no water, and they're staying in a hotel downtown. And myself, I've got power and water again. It went out 2 a.m. Sunday into Monday morning and just came back on this morning.
Okay, good. I was one of the lucky ones. I never lost power, which is so weird because three, four blocks away, people were without power. So that was weird. I'm still waiting on water to come back. So I've been doing bottled water showers. How about that?
We're on the boil water notice too, down where I'm at. But the press release that we read said it was okay to shower in, just don't open your mouth while you're in the shower.
Yeah, and don't let it get into your nasal cavity so that you end up having some weird virus, right? Oh, who knows? I mean, I don't have water right now, so it doesn't matter. So I'm just using bottled water. And, you know, you have to be economical when you do that. But, you know, we're getting through it. I mean, I was even out gathering snow and breaking ice on my rooftop and throwing it into buckets so that it would melt so that I would have something to flush the toilets with, believe it or not. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, as long as whatever it takes to survive.
You know, you gotta come up with some decent ideas, right? Because it was tough finding water for a day and a half. I agree on Coldplay, too. I mean, good God, I don't know what people see in that band. I got friends who are crazy about it. All right, let's get to some soccer talk because that is why we're here. Right now, the United States women's national team is in action against Canada. That is the She Believes Cup. Right now at halftime with Canada, it's a 0-0 scoreline, if you want me to say it in English, or it's 0-0. So halftime 0-0 in that game. Earlier today, it was Brazil over Argentina. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, GlennDavisSoccer.com. Still doing the shows from the house here, so that's what we're doing. By the way, what did happen to COVID? I mean, nobody's even talking about that anymore. Right, Aaron?
I went to 5 different stores yesterday looking for a bottle of water. I've been to Bucky's multiple times because that was the only place I could get coffee down by me. And they're basically like, you know what, we're going to treat one emergency at a time. If you don't have a mask, just don't cough on people. Don't be a jerk kind of thing.
Yeah, it's amazing, though, because, you know, all of a sudden now you got people that are, you know, going to places to stay warm, but it just completely drops out of the discussion. I mean, it is kind of amazing how it all just totally shifts. You forget about a pandemic disease. I mean, for what it is. Anyway, so we got the U.S. women playing Canada right now. We're going to talk some Champions League here. We're going to talk some Europa League as well. So who we have on the show tonight? We got Dynamo president John Walker. I've asked for, if you've got questions, hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. John will come on the show. We also have Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan in the next segment. So if you have thoughts on or questions for either Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan or president John Walker, hit me up on Twitter. You can hit me up on Facebook Soccer Matters. We'll read a few of the questions on the air. I have mine, obviously, but I also always want to be the conduit to getting those questions that the fans most want asked to the Dynamo brass. So there you go. We've heard from Tab Ramos on the roster. We'll get Tab back on the show soon. Tonight we're going to ask Matt Jordan about the roster. So a lot to get into tonight also. For those who are out there and fans of any of the Champions League teams, any of the teams in Europe that have just played in Champions League or the Europa League, been a lot of great score lines, a lot of goals today in the Europa League, a lot of maybe shocking score lines as well. Love to hear from you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Also on the show, Tyler Pascher. He will be on the show tonight, the new Dynamo signing. We'll talk to him. You'll find a couple of things about him you may not know right now as we try to star build some of the new players so you get to know them. Also, we'll finish the show up with some college soccer talk with the head coach of Texas Longhorns, Angela Kelly. She will come on the show tonight as well. So a lot going on here tonight. Again, the phone lines are open, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So today, we'll start with the Champions League. And we had some very, very interesting Champions League results, including Barcelona getting smacked in their match. Sorry, just getting something typed here. Okay, so we go back to the round of 16. First leg, Liverpool fans, Houston Liverpool supporters who are out there, Hugh O'Connors, would love your thoughts on the 2-0 victory over Leipzig. Sadio Mane in the 58th after Salah had put the team up in the 53rd. This was more of a Liverpool-type performance here against a very good opponent in RB Leipzig who had Tyler Adams, a U.S. international. So 2-0 to Liverpool in that round of 16 first leg matchup. We then jump to Sevilla and Borussia Dortmund. Sevilla had been on a very good defensive run. They go down 3-2 to Borussia Dortmund, and that is a much, much needed win for Dortmund, who has really struggled in the Bundesliga. Erling Haaland with a pair in that one, 43rd and 27th. De Hood in the 19th, and then Suso and Jong for Sevilla. Yeah, not the Jong at our station, who, by the way, congratulations to Jong. And then Porto 2-1 over Juventus. Now, this is one I fully watched this game. So what's interesting about this game is Porto was so dominant in this. They scored the first minute in each half. So Taremi scores a minute in. Marega scores a minute into the second half. Apart from the last few minutes in this game, it is a dominating game for Porto. Great collective pressing game, making it difficult for Juventus. Basically took Cristiano Ronaldo out of the game. Now there's people up in arms that, you know, Ronaldo is selfish. He doesn't know how to play in the system now of the new system under Andrea Pirlo. So there's a number of things going on there. 713-780-3776. But then Chiesa scores in the 82nd minute. And a day where you really, really dominated. I think Porto walks out there going, God, you know, so deflating. when you dominate that much and don't get that third goal. And then, you know, of course, with the quality of these players, Juventus produces a good goal. And now it's 2-1 going back to Turin. So you have to think about these things in this game. And, of course, Porto was very selective in the way they attacked and the taking of their chances despite, you know, the difference in possession. They kept Juventus away from their goal in this and defended beautifully. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. So hoping to hear from you tonight. Again, we have Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan coming on the show, and John Walker will be coming up to the Dynamo President in this one. So next Tuesday, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, Lazio, Bayern Munich, Mönchengladbach and Manchester City. Those are some of the games that will be coming up in the next week for you, the soccer fan, with the Champions League back. And, you know, there's all this talk now that potentially the Champions League, you know, wants to expand. And, oh, UEFA has proposed changes that, obviously, you can imagine the smell of green becomes involved in the air. It's all about money. So they want to expand it. 36 teams in a single table, replacing the group stage format, which is 8 groups of 4 teams, right? That's what we're in. We're into knockout play now in the round of 16. But prior to get into the round of 16, you had to get out of the group stage. I think we like that. I think we like the indicators of a group stage. I think we like the fact that group stages can come down to the final game. But I think you truly get the better teams advancing in those. So now, you know, it's all about money. So here's where the rubber hits the road. If that happens, you go from, so if they go to a single table, 36 teams, you go from playing 125 games to 225 games. So you just think of all the additional revenue and money and, you know, everything from, you know, merchandise, tickets, tertiary, parking, all the other things where money's made, concessions, on and on we go. But the beauty here is, for those that are all about making the money and not the integrity of the tournament, they're guaranteed games. That's the beauty. Guaranteed games. But I think we as fans, aren't you getting tired of it's just an overabundance of tournament. There's tournaments. There's too many inconsequential games and tournaments and friendlies, and it's too much. And you're really seeking out, you know, the meaningful stuff. 713-780-3776. Would you like the proposed change of the Champions League? Do you want a single table? Do you want more teams involved? Do you want to have 225 matches as opposed to 125? You tell me. Now, remember when the World Cup, somebody had the brainchild of ideas in that, oh, let's play the World Cup every 2 years. Players at this stage don't want more games. Players at this stage, you're pushing him beyond belief, I think. Arsene Wenger, the former Arsenal manager, says this, quote, modern football has to find a compromise between what the clubs want and what the fans want. Arsene Wenger, incidentally, is the head of FIFA's global development. These comments he made were to be in sports. So, you know, no kidding. Yeah. Compromise between the clubs want and what the fans want. The fans want more quality games, and you have to agree with Arsene Wenger there. But it's always this push and pull between more competitions, more money, and then trying to keep the integrity of it. Europa League today, Manchester United 4-0 over Real Sociedad. So Manchester United needed a good result. No question about it. They needed to respond. They did. They did in a big way over Real Sociedad. two for Bruno Fernandes. Hands down, the transforming player on Manchester United, along with Marcus Rashford and Daniel James. Now, all that sounds really nice, 4-0, but the start of this game, Manchester United, who has been known to start sloppy in games, did start sloppy, were not punished. Dean Henderson in goal for David De Gea came up with a big save. For me, the trio of Fred, Scott McTominay, and Bruno were the men of the match. But, you know, you look at Manchester United and you just say to yourself, where would they be without Bruno? Without Bruno Fernandes, where would you be? Think about that. They desperately need to get Paul Pogba back as well. Champions League, another one that I watched. This was Europa League today, United 4-0 over Real Sociedad. Was Inter Milan's win. And a very, very good win. We'll talk a little bit more about Inter Milan because they're going to win a Scudetto, I believe. On to some player development talk. So, Marcelo Balboa, who is the former U.S. international. I know Marcelo very well, worked on HDNet broadcasts for 6 years with Marcelo. We flew all over the country for Mark Cuban's network. He's now the Colorado Rapids analyst and Rapids Academy coach. He put this tweet out. Now, what happens is, and it's a tweet that Ruud van Nistelrooy, the former Dutch national team star and Manchester United star, who's now in coaching, he put a tweet out from Van Nistelrooy. And that tweet, you know, spoke about the pressures on players now. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. We might have to go back to this in the second hour, but we do want to get this player development talk in. We're going to come back now. We're going to switch gears here. We're going to go into an interview with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. He's going to join us live here shortly. Oh, is U2 one of the other bands that was voted in the top 25 worst by you guys? Yeah. I like U2, especially the early stuff. As we go to break here, quick word for BMW. Advantage BMW in Midtown. I've leased, I've bought from them a number of times. I love the drive of a BMW. I've got an X5. I can't say I've been driving a lot lately, but looking for milk, yes. Great customer service at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Advantage BMW in Midtown, go down there, ask for Justin, ask for Steven Prather. They'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get in that car you want. Maybe it's a sedan, maybe a 3, a 5, or a 7 series. Time is now. Advantage BMW Houston. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, presents Soccer Matters. We'll come back with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
I'm Greg Berhalter, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, United States and Canada. 56-minute, a nil-nil scoreline. Two Houston Dash players, Jane Campbell and Christy Mewis, a part of that U.S. squad in the She Believes Cup. Very competitive, good game with my eye taking a look there during commercial break. Time now to talk some Houston Dynamo. We've got the general manager, Matt Jordan. Matt, thanks for coming on here. Short notice. I appreciate that. And I guess my first simple question to you is, how did you make out with heat and water?
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn, for having me on, first of all. And I hope that you and your friends and family have all been safe this last week. It's been a hectic week, as well as all the listeners. I know we, you know, similar to everybody else, and we've had some portions of time without water, without electricity as well. But I don't think we've had have been as effective as many others who were without for several days. So, you know, we're just all kind of trying to chip in and help each other out and just trying to help my neighbors with different things and, you know, hoping that tomorrow the warmer weather is coming to help all of us.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I mean, if you've done something to help an elderly neighbor or just simple things like that, got something from a grocery store for someone, that's part of the game, right? I mean, doing simple things. You don't have to have something that everybody sees and hears about. It can be just doing something as simple as helping an elderly neighbor.
Yeah, no, we're all in it together, you know, and so, you know, like I said, hopefully the weather is going to turn next couple of days and make it a lot easier for everybody.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the light. We're starting to feel it. All right, let's get into some Dynamo talk here. First off, Matt, I mean, how settled is this roster now going into the season? Could we potentially see some other changes, or are you pretty content where it is now? And, of course, we talked to Tab about the roster last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly been one of the busiest off seasons in club history for us. We've been one of the most active teams in the league. And, you know, we feel really, really good that we've strengthened each line of the team, and we feel like we've had a really good, positive and productive off season. So I think, you know, of course, we're always looking to improve the roster. I mean, the work's never done, Glenn. But I also think that with as many changes as we've made, we want to, you know, get the group together and you know, get everyone working together and see how everyone's looking and then take it one step at a time from there.
Tim Parker, would you consider him the biggest off-season signing?
Well, certainly was the most challenging deal to get done. But no, I do. I think Tim was vitally important for us. You know, it really took better part of a couple months to get the deal done. We tried even multiple times last season as well. And just what really stands out about Tim is, you know, he's a winner, his winning mentality, his leadership qualities. But also, you know, that he has a lot of the physical, you know, characteristics and style of play characteristics that we and Tab are looking for, you know, in our system of play, you know, and his athleticism, his speed, you know. And so I think certainly that was when that deal got done, you know, Tab and I were together actually right when it got done. And there was a big sense of relief with that one.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us. All right. One of the things that certainly the fans, this is percolating with the fans, is where are the goals going to come from? Because they've seen the exit of Albert Elise. They've seen, you know, the sale of Albert Elise and Mauro Manotas. Is it kind of by committee? I mean, how do you see the goal scoring going to be laid out this year? Is it going to be a collective thing as opposed to saying, okay, well, we have one person we're going to count on for, you know, maybe 15 to 20 goals this year, and then we work off of that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the way you describe it as a collective effort is a really good description. You know, I think when you look at, you know, the different players that we've brought in, I mean, I think another important transaction for us was Max Urruti. You know, that was a deal that took a lot of time with Montreal, but that was a player that, you know, Tab really likes a lot. We've always liked, has a high work rate, especially at pressing in a 4-3-3 system. So I think, you know, between, you know, Maxi, Christian Ramirez as well, you know, has a track record of scoring in the league. Then you bring in Fafa, you know, who brings a lot of speed and athleticism out wide. Ariel can play up top and out wide as well. Tyler Pasch is a good player, very talented. You know, we feel is the best player in the second division last year. We also tried to get him last summer. You know, Mateo is just coming off of a loan, you know, and some of the other players as well. So I do agree with you. I think it's going to be, you know, it's a responsibility of everybody. And then you got, you know, guys like Darwin Quintero and some of our midfielders who can make late runs and join the attack to contribute as well.
So the obvious thing here is all of these guys can't play. You do have a lot of wingers now. I mean, do you guys entertain offers for anybody, you know, other clubs around the league interested in some of the depth you have in these wide areas?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we get calls all the time and those discussions are ongoing. I mean, but I think that's what we like. I mean, that's a big part of my job. I mean, I really, enjoy working with Tab, and it's been, you know, it's been, you know, great to work with him, and as we're really kind of evolving and starting a new cycle with the roster. And so, I mean, I really look at my job as, you know, I want to provide, you know, him and the coaches with as many options as possible and competition for spots. And I think a real focus of ours is to have two and three players in every spot on the field, and we believe that that competition is really going to be very important. And the other thing I'd say, too, Glenn, with the delayed start to the season, you know, it's a busy calendar year with different competitions within the FIFA calendar. I mean, there'll be times, too, where we'll have call-ups, and we're going to need to manage through those. And so it's going to be important that we rely on everybody.
Talking to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan, let me take you back to Max Iarudi, because, yeah, he's scored 53 goals in his career. He's got over 50 goals in Major League Soccer. But is as much his signing, is it as much about fitting into a pressing setup once the ball is lost? In other words, I mean, this guy is very mobile. He's a buzzer. He's a pest. He's not a fun guy to play against if you're a center back. I'm assuming a lot of this fits into a front three that are really going to press and really switch it on once the ball is lost.
Yeah, I think that's you're spot on, you know, with that about Maxi. I mean, he's very, you know, he's very hardworking, very high energy, occupies the center backs. And I mean, I think the other really strong quality is that he has is really to open up spaces for others, you know, and he's an unselfish player. And I think that's why he's been on a lot of championship winning teams, you know. I mean, as a guy that's won a Supporters Shield, an Open Cup, an MLS Cup, a Canadian Cup. And so I think that's one of the characteristics that Tab and we really like, you know, is that he fits that system and that style of play very well and is a selfless player, you know, and that's hard to find. That's not an easy quality to find in attacking players.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We appreciate it, Matt, coming on late here tonight because we weren't necessarily sure we were going to have a show this morning, but it all worked out, and we're glad to be on the air here tonight getting some good soccer talk in. I'm going to take you back to Darwin Quintero. I don't think there's any question his best games last year came, you know, when he aligns himself out on the left and then has that ability to kind of be free and come inside. Now, the way it looks now, it looks on paper maybe, and I could be way off here because I'm not the coach or the general manager. I just want to remind everybody. But, you know, it's looking based on who you've acquired that he would play, you know, behind a Maxi Arruti or a Christian Ramirez more in a more traditional 10 role. Tabs seem to lean to that. Is that the idea? And are there any concerns there from him playing in that position and you know, as opposed to coming in from the left?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's, you know, that positional flexibility and tactical flexibility is going to help. You know, I think, you know, I mean, Darwin's really good at finding space between the lines. And you know, he can create chances, he can make the final pass, and he can obviously score goals as well. I mean, whether it's centrally, you know, in a 4-3-3, maybe at times, you know, Tab will decide, you know, he wants to play in, you know, shift and go into a 4-2-3-1 or in wide and put him wide as well. I mean, that's, you know, certainly, you know, defer to Tab on that, and, you know, and he's the coach of the team, but I think really for us, it's just having, you know, weapons with different characteristics. You know, he has some different qualities with the ball and the way he separates on the dribble that other players don't have. And so I think that you always look and you want to provide, you know, different, we want to have different players and have different options of players with different qualities, you know, and he has different qualities. And, you know, and I think that's a real challenge that the guys are really looking forward to, is just how, you know, how we'll all come together and, you know, we're all looking forward to.
And you consider him the star of the team, right? I mean, you're building around him. He is, you know, the high level attacking player, right?
He's a very good player. I mean, I don't think that we're a team that relies on one star. I mean, I'd say the team's the star. You know, and that's really been, you know, that's a focus of ours, you know, and I think that, You know, he's a great player. He's an extremely talented player. But I think if you look at a lot of the different pieces we've acquired, I mean, they, you know, you could say the same, you know, about, you know, Joe Corona. I mean, he's done really well, and performed at a high level for quite some time. I mean, Fafa's a, you know, brings some different qualities. So I think the real focus is the collective. You know, and I've heard you say that a couple times, and I appreciate it when you said that, and I agree with that. You know, I think it's all about the team. You know, we have to defend together, you know, as a team. We have to attack together, and you know, and everything that we need to focus on is about the group.
So collective, obviously, is a great thing, and all the great teams have it, but they also have game changers. Do you feel like you have enough game changers?
Yeah, look, I think we have some really talented players. And, you know, I mean, look, we're always looking, you know, to continue to improve the roster. And I think that, you know, the other thing is when you have competition and, you know, for spots, I mean, that's really an important element of getting the most out of all of us. You know, I mean, it's been a busy, you know, busy off season, obviously, and I mean, I think, you know, I think I said this the last time I was on your show. I mean, you know, we just really needed to focus. We really need to focus on letting our work speak for us, you know, and I'm happy that, you know, a lot of the targets that we outlined in the league, you know, we were able to acquire. I mean, we've had to pivot and shift and put a more of a focus on the domestic market, you know, given the challenges that we've faced the last 12 months. And so we're really looking. I mean, I can tell you, Glenn, I mean, we're really looking forward to getting going. Right now we have voluntary, you know, guys are here in market on a voluntary basis. I mean, and there's been days where there's, you know, I've gone by and there's been, you know, 18, 20 players out, you know, just out, you know, on a voluntary basis working, you know, and I think that the fans and everybody should be excited about that. And that speaks of the level of excitement we have.
All right, so I'm saying that's probably a really, really good thing. Look, you and I were players. You played in Major League Soccer. I played back in the dark ages. But when new players came into a locker room, you know, some people see it as a threat, and that is a healthy thing. Are you getting the sense that the players on the team, and maybe some of the incumbents from last year who are, you know, always going to be penciled in and day out to the starting lineup, do you get the sense that they realize there's going to be a lot more competition for playing time this year?
100%. 100%. I mean, today was a prime example. I was, you know, another day where it was, you know, just above freezing conditions, you know, and on a voluntary basis, there was a bunch of guys out there. And I think that, you know, any time, you know, similar to when, you know, you were playing, is the same when I was playing as well. You know, every time you're looking over your shoulder, you know you can't relax, and you have to be on your toes. And I think that is certainly what's going on right now, and it's in good spirit. And I think we brought a lot of good characters, you know, into the group as well, which I think, you know, Tabs touched upon with you as well. And you know, added a lot of leadership, really strong mentality, you know, locker room guys. And I think that's going to really, really benefit the group as well. But yeah, I agree with you that I think that's a big factor why you're seeing a lot of these guys that are here, you know, working so hard on a voluntary basis right now.
In the pressing system that you have, do you think it's possible to have both Darwin and Memo Rodriguez on the field at the same time if you lined up in a 4-3-3?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Tab's going to ultimately decide, you know, who plays and on the lineups, but I think that Memo, his game has evolved a lot, where he's understood the demands, you know, as a true kind of box to box number eight in a 4-3-3, you know, pressing system. You know, we have a really, really good performance in sports science department and we're always, you know, tracking, you know, all this data and, you know, and I think you've seen, you know, in a lot of players, you know, they've, you know, understood that they have to adapt with the demands. So I do think, you know, ultimately that'll be Tab's decision. But I do think that, you know, especially going into year two, I think there's you know, the guys that did come back, and we made a lot of changes this offseason, the guys that are coming back have a very clear understanding of the expectations, and Memo's one of them, you know. And you know, and so I think, you know, whether he and Darwin can be on the field, you know, I think so. But you know, I think there'll be different variations at different times as Cobb and the guys see fit.
So Carlos Salcedo, who's on Tigres and played in the FIFA Club World Cup final, as you know, I know you know that. I'm not telling you that. I'm kind of just reminding the audience Bayern Munich would win, but it was historic for Tigres to get, as the first time, a CONCACAF team to the FIFA Club World Cup final like that. You know, there were things that came out of ESPN Deportes and ESPN MX that the Dynamo were linked to him. Is there anything you can say on that?
Well, I can confirm we have been in touch with his representatives, you know, and he's, you know, he's a player, you know, that we've tracked for quite some time. And, you know, and I think it's somebody that, you know, we think is a very good player. You know, and, you know, and so it's, you know, there's a lot of different players we're following at this time. He's certainly one of them. You know, with the run that Tigres has been on, I mean, obviously, you know, all those guys are, there's a big focus on all those guys. And I mean, they did such a great job. And Carlos is a player that we've watched real close and been tracking.
Matt, listen, thanks for coming on short notice here. We're up on a hard break. Appreciate you coming on the show. Glad things are getting together in your household, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much for coming on tonight and answering these questions rapid fire.
I apologize, Glenn. Can I just say one thing real quick?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, you know, if we, you know, as a club and also with a lot of our players, we're focused on players' winter storm relief fund. And, you know, if anyone's interested, you know, our goal is to get to $10,000, you know, dollars to help with families affected by this. And if you want to check out our website or Twitter, and if anyone's interested in helping out, you know, we're all working together to try to help people who are going through a tough time. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to speak about that, but you led me into it. Austin FC, FC Dallas, the Dynamo, everybody's working on a winter storm relief. There is a GoFundMe that's been put up. The goal has been set $15,000. They've reached over $12,500 right now. And I'll get the information out here where it can be found. Each club has got, you know, a player spearheading it. So Matt Beasler in Austin, Zarek Valentin in Houston, and I think it's Tanner Tessman up in FC Dallas. So very good stuff there. You go to any of the club websites, you're going to find information. Matt, thank you so much.
Glenn, I really appreciate the time, and take care of yourself, and also to everybody listening tonight.
All right. Thank you, Matt. All right. We'll take a break here. Good stuff there from Matt Jordan. Coming up next is John Walker, the president of the Houston Dynamo. You know, what I was trying to get to you in the first segment was the Inter Milan-Napoli game I watched this past weekend. That's one I took in. And Inter Milan under Antonio Conte now, top of the Serie A. Maybe this is the year they win the Scudetto. They beat Lazio 3-1. Romelu Lukaku was pretty much uncontainable in this game. Nobody could stop him. Running through people. Even when his control was poor, he'd still win the second ball and drive through people. And despite leading 2-0 at the half, Lazio actually was the better aesthetic team. But Inter Milan in a very, very good place. Antonio Conte on the sideline for Inter Milan. For Lazio, it was Simone Inzaghi, and it was hilarious because there was none of this crowd noise that we get in the Premier League matches, which I can't stand. I can't stand the piped-in stuff. It's so cool to listen and hear guys. So Conte and Simone Inzaghi are literally, as teams are breaking out either direction, they're running up and down their boxes as though they're playing. I mean, it was fantastic stuff. Serie A's great stuff. All right, John Walker coming next. This is the legendary band Kraftwerk, the song called The Autobahn.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Hola, soy Mateo Bajamich. Les quería mandar un saludo muy grande a Soccer Mothers y les mando un abrazo muy grande.
All right, welcome back to the show. 713-780-3776 throughout the night. We'll have an open segment after this one, but we're pleased to be joined in this segment courtesy of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, our presenting sponsors. He is the president of the Houston Dynamo. He is John Walker. He joins us now. John, thanks for coming on tonight.
Good evening, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. I get the sense things are a little bit better in your household when it comes to being a little bit warmer.
We had a 42-hour stretch here in the Walker household with no power, which I know pales in comparison to what some other folks are going through, but it got a little chilly in here. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I bet. And it has to be tough with children too, huh?
It is, but they were troopers. It's kind of like outdoor, you know, kind of glamping for them. So, you know, on that note, Glenn, I'm glad you mentioned that right off the bat there. I know Matt, you and Matt were just talking about it a little bit, but, you know, our just as a club, our hearts go out to the folks that have been affected by this, and it's just about everybody you know. And, you know, we know there's been a lot of damage done, and you know, people have been cold, and it's just been an awful thing. And it reminds me, you know, since I've been here, Glenn, I've only been here 2 years, so thankfully I haven't had to go through a hurricane experience. But you know, when I moved here, everybody was telling me how tough this city is, and it's because they've had to go through, you know, some real hardship. And I think this is another one of those challenges for this city and for the state, really. And I know we'll come through it, and, you know, our club's thinking about everybody. And as Matt mentioned, you know, several of our players on both the Dynamo and the Dash have gotten together and created this, the Winter Storm Relief Fund. And you know, we'd like for everybody to go in there and just a little bit more about it. You know, everything you would donate would be tax deductible. And the proceeds, although it'll go initially into Dynamo Charity, will turn right around and we'll cut checks to Kids Meals in Houston, as well as the Houston Food Bank. So those are the targets, and you know, just really want to tell everybody that we're rooting for everybody, and we can't wait to get back to normal here.
Yeah, and it's another good piece of outreach. By the way, I just put it out on Twitter, and it's basically the form where you can learn about it, and you can sign up and donate money if you're capable of doing that. And listen, we all know there's still people without jobs now. I'm seeing more and more buildings and facilities and businesses empty now, getting spray painted. So you know, there are constant everyday reminders driving down the street how tough things are. So if we have something we can give to others, that's always helpful. Good work there from the Houston Dynamo. Also, John, you know, the nice thing is I see, you know, Austin FC is doing it, Dallas is doing it. And when I see all three of the pro clubs working together like that, is that something that's going to happen in other areas, whether it be competitive or off the field initiatives? Or are we going to see a little bit of that? Because I know you guys all have good relationships with the different clubs.
We do. It's been a lot of fun here in the last few months. I've been having a weekly call with my counterparts, Andy and Jimmy, and in Austin and up in Dallas. And, you know, we talk about a variety of things, but I can see us being kind of a creative group when it comes to, you know, a lot of things, whether it's things for fans, things competitively, and certainly things like this, where between the three of us, we have a pretty powerful voice here in this triangle that we've created. And you'll definitely see the fruits of that, I think, as early as, you know, 2021, because we've been talking about several things.
John Walker joining us, Dynamo president. So, John, every off season is an opportunity to regain fans and win fans over, get them excited about the team. Let me just give you a platform right now. You take it and tell us why Dynamo fans should be excited for this upcoming season.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, first of all, we need a distraction, right, from what's been going on in the real world. You know, as you and Matt were discussing, you know, we've really retooled the roster, and in a way that has gotten not only Tab and Matt and the rest of the staff excited, but, you know, we've seen some really positive feedback from our fans as well. And, people, you know, heads are turning. There was an article on MLS.com in early February about the three teams who've made the best off-season moves, and we were one of those three. And you know, everything's been done with Tab's system in mind and Tab's experience with some of these guys. And you know, as I'm sure Matt mentioned, I wasn't able to stream the first part of your interview with him, but you know, the athleticism of the team has certainly been improved. There's MLS experience up and down the roster. And you know, we certainly have our sights set on, you know, making a run. And if we can get through this COVID thing and get a full stadium full of fans, it could be pretty exciting here towards the end of the summer. So that's what we're looking for.
John Walker, Dynamo president, joining us here. Again, U.S. has a 1-0 lead over Canada here in the 86th minute, just for those of you that are listening in to John and I. Okay, so I want to take you into April 17th start date, apparently, in Major League Soccer. Will there be fans allowed in from the start at BBVA Stadium?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Glenn. You know, at the end of 2020, in our return to play here in Houston, we were able to have fans in a socially distanced manifest, which allowed us to have about 3,300 fans total. I think it was about 15% of the stadium. And that was a plan that was approved, you know, based on our protocols for taking people's temperatures, keeping people socially distanced, making sure that people wore masks. And it was approved by MLS, the city of Houston, and Harris County. So, and we felt really good that we could do it safely, because that's a, you know, the priority is to make sure our fans and our players and staff can you know, attend matches safely. So we're going to start that way on April 17th, you know, and actually I believe the NWSL Challenge Cup starts the week before that, and so we're hoping that the Dash will be hosting a match the weekend before that as the defending champion in the NWSL Challenge Cup. And so for both of those weekends, you know, we will be having fans. Again, it'll be socially distanced. But I'll tell you this, we've already put together a plan to increase that capacity, you know, based on the fact that there are more vaccines being administered, and the trends for controlling the virus are starting to be favorable. And so, as we're able to get approval to add more fans throughout the season, we're going to do that. I think we'll probably do it in a stair-step fashion, probably go from, you know, 15% up to 25, and then maybe up to 50. And as we go through the summer, and, you know, our hope is, you know, we're optimistic, but our hope is that by the time we get to the second half of the season, you know, we may be able to have a full stadium with a fans. So, but again, we'll only do it when we have the approval from the city and the county and MLS from a safety standpoint.
John, any indications to what the schedule will be like? I mean, at that point, you know, will the club be able to travel to different parts of the country? Will there be a regionalized schedule? Is there any indication as to what that schedule is going to look like?
Yeah, I know they're working on it, because we've had some back and forth with the league on, you know, available dates and those kinds of questions that you get when they're putting the schedule together. And, you know, I believe that the intent is to keep it more regionalized here at the outset. I think teams are going to have to charter like they did at the end of last year versus flying commercial. And, you know, try and get through the first quarter or first half of the season with that kind of schedule. And then, again, as things open up and everybody's hoping and the forecasts are that, you know, we'll be in a better position to travel, you know, farther distances. And you know, I think one of the things that was talked about was to do more of a Western Conference, you know, interconference play in the outset, and then maybe, you know, start to go into the Eastern Conference in the second half of the season. But that's all, you know, to be determined by the league, and I know there will be some exceptions to every rule, but we're hoping to have that schedule here in the next couple weeks.
Talking to Dynamo president John Walker. John, I know I meant to ask Matt Jordan this, but I don't want to leave the night without asking one of you guys about this. You know, with the RGV relationship different now, and, you know, a lot of young talent like Marcelo Palomino and a number of guys that obviously last year didn't get the minutes for a variety of reasons, weren't able to be loaned to RGV. I know loans are a part of the future, but what's going to, you know, are the Dynamo interested in acquiring a USL Division II team, a USL Championship team? What will be sort of the vision down the road about, you know, what to do when it comes to adding that vital piece to an academy and a first team?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it, you know, it's one we've been working very closely with the league on, actually, at the MLS level. And, you know, they've had conversations about U23s and what that might look like, you know, across the league. You know, because some folks like ourselves, you know, don't have a relationship at this point in the same fashion that we did previously with RGB. And so I would look for something like that maybe sometime in 2022. And, you know, this year we're going to have to scramble a little bit, but we knew that going into the discussions with RGB. And I think that's where, you know, regionalized play, trying to find some ways to use our friends at Austin and Dallas to help get some guys minutes, meaningful minutes. And, but yeah, I think the, you know, at some point we may end up with a U23 team here that plays out of Houston and trains out of Houston Sports Park.
So if that happened in 2022, would you still look to potentially then get a USL Division II team? You know, that's been successful for FC Dallas and some others, and probably more cost-effective than getting a full USL championship team.
Yeah, TBD. I mean, it's on, you know, at this point, everything's on the table for the way forward. I mean, we're going to follow the league's guidance on some of that, but we've certainly talked about that, Glenn, for sure.
All right, last one before I let you go. It's a quick one. Rudy Segura wants to know when the 2021 jerseys are going to be available.
Later this month. We have been working with Adidas on that. I would anticipate that before the end of February, you will see them.
John, let me let you go. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it, and some great insight on some of the things coming up this season. It sounds like really a big key here is just getting a competitive team back on the field, trying to get back to some normalcy when it comes to Major League Soccer, and I'm assuming that's how people feel around the league.
We're excited to get started. You know, it was, I know you got to go, but it was about a year ago we were getting ready to play out to the LA Galaxy in front of a sold out BBVA stadium. So, you know, a lot's happened in a year, but we can't wait to get started again this year.
John, thanks again for coming on tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening and enjoy the heat.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
So this is a great song because our winter-like conditions, I hope, are leaving. This is a great ballad from the Rolling Stones called Winter. Absolutely beautiful song. You'd never hear it on the radio, but you do hear it on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Because you know what? We like music here as well. All right. It's all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Take a little listen to this.
Sure been a cold winter.
ESPN 97.5.